Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We've got a great doubleheader today. We're going to start off with Dr. Jim Babiak. He's an oral surgeon. He's the wisdom tooth doc. He's an anti-opioid advocate. And then Steve Thurston, the program director, Edwards Elmhurst Health and Fitness Center, my home club, will be returning. And then the sports doctors in and your emails and a little bit of discussion of the shows coming up. First, let's welcome oral surgeon, Dr. Jim Babiak, the wisdom tooth doc. Welcome to the sports doctor.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
Great. Give us a little background, Dr. Jim. I'm Dr. Bob. I'll call you Dr. Jim.
Okay.
Give us a little bit of background on yourself and the wisdom tooth doc and what you're doing.
Okay. So I am an oral surgeon in the Chicago suburbs. I've been in practice for just over 22 years now, which really makes me in some ways feel old and in some ways wonder how it can be that I've been doing this so long. So
I hear you.
We just keep going. I moved to Chicago in late 80s. I went to dental school at Northwestern. I did a hospital dentistry residency at Loyola. Then I was incredibly fortunate to be able to do my oral surgery specialty training at Cook County Hospital in Chicago, where I had the ability to be exposed to anything and everything that an oral surgeon does. And honestly, quite a few things that I can't talk about that you just don't see anywhere else except in one of the busiest trauma centers in the country. So that allowed me to...
Of course, the oral part of the world too, Jim. You know,
yeah.
The sports medicine world, whether it's the necessity of protection, tooth protection and oral protection, whether it is you guys handling the hockey player who got hit with a puck at 90 miles an hour, knocked out half his teeth and whatever. So we definitely have talked on the oral side of things on the sports doctor, to say the least, including your name and your moniker many times with the whole questions regarding wisdom teeth. Do they have to come out? And well, everything from A to Z. I know you're also a real advocate of the anti-opioid. You're a real educator. Spending a lot of time on that. So talk a little bit about starting off maybe with the wisdom tooth doc.
Okay. So this journey that I'm on, and this is something that will continue to go for as long as it takes. I may not be able to live long enough to see the final outcome, because we... In American society today, we are really in a crisis that most people don't realize that we are in a crisis. The estimates that are published are that there are approximately 300,000 people per year that become addicted to opioid medications after surgery. Vast majority of those are people who are teens and early 20s, and that's due to the maturing process of neurons in the brain. It takes time. Just because someone's 18 and is legally an adult, they're still maturing, they're still developing. They are more likely to become addicted to a narcotic medication from their first exposure.
And of course, the narcotics are everywhere you look.
They're everywhere they look.
Yes. The United States is 5% of the world's population, Dr. Jim. We take 80% of the world's pain pills. And one of the real pet peeves of the sports doctor, for 25 years, give or take a few weeks, I've been arguing about the constant advertising of prescription drugs on television. We're a real pill for everything society. And, you know, even though pain pills absolutely have their place, the fact that they could be so addictive so soon, I know, is one of the things that you've really paid so much attention to. And I think it's a tremendously important topic, especially when it's routine to give narcotics post-op, you know, for surgery.
It's routine, and University of Michigan study from last year showed us that for most people in this country, their first exposure to an opioid pain medicine is with their wisdom tooth extraction, and then 3% of those go on to become addicted. So in my head, stuff I've been reading over the years, I started thinking, you know, I've seen this many kids, and I've done this many procedures, and realistically, since I've been doing this for more than 20 years, there's 100 or more people out there that are addicted to narcotic medications where I probably prescribed their first dose. So that got me thinking we need to change what we do, because a standard procedure, your child needs their wisdom teeth out. You take them to the oral surgeon. Standard sedation technique that's used, people are given a dose of a very powerful narcotic called fentanyl, which is about 100 times more powerful than morphine. It's, some estimates are it's 1,000 times more addictive than morphine. Then they get their procedure done. Then they go home, and most docs will send them with a big bottle of heavy-duty pain medication, Vicodin, Norco.
See, that's the problem, big bottle. I would give people enough pain medicine for 3 days. You know, that's it in that regard.
It's just become the standard, unfortunately.
Yes. And, of course, you know, being on the side of trying to educate about this, which is, number one, far more dangerous and much more addictive, much faster than anybody ever really, really realized. Number two, how Big Pharma has pushed constantly, still is, the availability of the opioid medications. And, of course, in sports medicine, you know, lots of surgery, lots of injuries, the same kind of challenge in that regard. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years and see some of the international guests we've had, some of the different topics. You could listen to whatever you would like. If you want shows any older than that, we got to go to the reel to reel in the archive. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read an endless array of articles on so many different topics, whether it's what's the best shoe for you or your son or daughter, whether it's one of my most popular articles, Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge, or it's the dramatic role of orthotics in sports medicine. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get on Twitter. 5,000-6,000 followers on LinkedIn. Dr. Jim's a great example of one of the great guests we got on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. We're talking to Dr. Jim Babiak. He's an oral surgeon. He's the wisdom tooth doc. He's also an advocate and educator in trying to change this direction of the routine use of these opioid heavy pain pills. I want to ask you, Dr. Jim, about the, does everybody have to have wisdom teeth removed? You know, parents ask this all the time. Give us a little bit of education on what goes into who needs the wisdom teeth done and why.
The reality is that there today are very few people who have enough room in their jaws to hold their wisdom teeth. And that, it's an evolutionary factor that goes by to the convenience culture that we have developed. Everything that we eat today is very highly processed. Unless you are someone who is is a down-to-earth person who's living away from society with no electricity, and you're growing your own food and you're washing your vegetables in a stream, the diet that was consumed even 100 years ago was much more abrasive than what we eat today. You would have dirt, you would have sand, you would have, even in ground flour and corn, they would be ground on an old-fashioned millstone. There would be little particles of that millstone that would get into the food. So the teeth would wear. Then you also take in the factor that dental care didn't exist to the extent it exists today, so teeth were lost. So as the wisdom teeth developed, teeth were worn, they shift, and the wisdom tooth could potentially have room to come in. Then you also add the factor that bone development is related to function. The more muscular force that a bone feels as it's developing, the larger the bone will be.
So it's routine and common that almost everybody, probably looking at and starting in adolescence, needs to really pay attention. Dr. Jim, what's the best website for people to find out about the Wisdom Tooth Doc?
WisdomTeethJoliet.com.
Wisdom Teeth Joliet.
J-O-L-I-E-T.
WisdomTeethJoliet.com.
.com.
Okay. And what age, roughly, in general, do parents need to really start to pay attention to the necessity, or at least looking into the necessity of the wisdom teeth procedures?
Ideally, we want to get wisdom teeth evaluated, and if they need removal, we want to get the removal done before those teeth are fully formed. So we want to be seeing kids in the 13 to 17 age range. So basically, high school years.
And the jumping back to the important topic, when procedures are done and post-op, do you use over-the-counter? I know you're a big educator. You talk about educating the families beforehand on what's involved and educating them regarding the whole topic of pain medicine. So what do you replace sending patients home with for pain?
I do things which I believe is different from anybody else out there. There are oral surgeons in practice who will talk to their parents that are no opioid practice, but as far as their sedation process goes, they still use that fentanyl that we talked about, which is still getting their first exposure to a narcotic. So you can't just eliminate the prescription at the end and still make a big
difference. What do you use for the sedation?
So I've developed a technique where I've eliminated the fentanyl. I haven't used that in many, many years. I've added a couple medications so they get the same effect. Plus, they get a pre-op anti-inflammatory and post-op anti-inflammatory, and they get an intravenous non-narcotic pain medication as part of the sedation. We do a pre-op starting the day before surgery. There's a spray, there's a gel, there's actually an herbal supplement that they take to help with inflammation of the gum tissue to help them heal faster.
What I find is, I think, a surprise to a lot of people, Dr. Jim, I think we still have 3-4 minutes, is the sedation side of things. I find that very, very informative. And frankly, wasn't that aware of what a big deal that is, with most of the attention, going to the prescriptions, going home. So that's some great information. That there are better and safer ways to accomplish the same thing, which is to knock somebody out so that they're not feeling the procedure itself. Do people get 4 wisdom teeth done at the same time commonly, or do you recommend that they do 2 and 2?
I recommend that they get all 4 done at once and go through 1 recovery and never have to worry about doing it again. It saves the patient's family money because they're only having 1 sedation procedure.
Are there a fair amount of adults who have neglected this, haven't run into trouble until they become adults, and that it then becomes necessary? that they have to have their wisdom teeth removed?
There are many adults who, for whatever reason, it doesn't get done. And there are some who they do have enough room, the wisdom teeth come in, but then they can't keep them clean, and then they develop cavities and gum disease, and then you're taking them out in their 40s and 50s, where it's a much more involved procedure with a bigger recovery.
I would imagine that general dentistry really, in your area, in the Chicago area, have really, really embraced what you're trying to do and the way you're trying to do it. And you probably have your like you said, who knows how many years, you probably got your share of and challenges with some of these critics in some way or another. So I think it's very, very commendable that you're continuing to educate the population regarding, number one, we got to really pay attention to this with these kids, the earlier, the better, like you said, adolescent age. And it's a very important fact that for most of us, we don't have the room anymore.
Right.
And wisdom teeth really get in the way. That's also, I think, a very important point you're making, which is almost all the time we've got to get rid of them. It's not only if they're causing trouble. And so, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, we want to take care of things before they cause trouble. It's an easier process. It's a better recovery. And you help set the kid up for good oral health in their adult years, so they're not losing teeth and looking at replacements in their 40s.
Again, the fact that the profession becomes very familiar with what you're talking about, it's a major, major key. We're going to have to get you back. Dr. Jim Babiak, oral surgeon, the Wisdom Tooth Doc. Dr. Jim, quickly, give me that website again, please.
WisdomTeethJoliet.com.
WisdomTeethJoliet.com. Great. Hold on quickly, Dr. Jim. Everybody, we're going to be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag HeySportsParents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back Steve Thurston. Steve is the program manager at my home club, Edwards Elmhurst Health and Fitness Club, Woodridge, Illinois. Steven, welcome back.
Doc, great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm looking out at your treadmill. It's empty without you.
Ha, really? Good to have you back. Give us some background on you and Edwards and the program manager. Give us some background.
All right, you got it. So Edward Elmer's Health and Fitness, one of the premier health clubs in Chicagoland, one of the first medically based health clubs in Chicago. We opened in 1988 on the hospital campus of Edward Hospital. 9 years later, we opened our second club, which is where I'm standing right now. And we bring general fitness to the masses. We have medically based program for those that need it. Could be someone with Parkinson's, recovering from heart disease or heart surgery. Could be MS, arthritis, you name it, we do it. We got a back on track program for our cancer survivors or people going through cancer treatment. A little bit of everything for everyone. My role here is a liaison between the clinical staff at our hospital and the frontline user of our club, our general public. So we dream up clinical programs, put them into play, and market them as such.
You know, it's interesting, Steve. Way back when they were sitting around the table, and it was just the dream of Edwards Health and Fitness Center, I was part of the group trying to convince these doctors that fitness was a big deal and that it was so important regarding preventing injury and enhancing education in wellness and fitness. Way back on campus, of course, the Woodridge facility been around how many years?
97 we opened, so just celebrated 22 years.
Wow.
Now, our tagline right now is healthy driven, so we have come a long way in regards
healthy driven.
Having preventative health versus reactive health. Helping someone stay healthy and have a relationship with the healthcare system before they need it is really a good idea, and that's what we do.
Yeah, so. Preactive. Being preactive is so important. You know, one of your predecessors, Cindy Eggmeyer, who was the program manager when she was first on my radio show 100 years ago, she's now the CEO of the Health and Fitness Centers and has done a fantastic job. We had your new fitness director, Eric Bishop, a couple of months ago. Again, you talk about being the liaison, Steve, between the medical community and the fitness community. That's such an important link, I think. And there's no longer the necessity of convincing the medical community that fitness is such an important part of health, is it? Took forever, man.
It was a fun ride, I'll tell you that. Cindy Eggemeyer has been here 20 years. She has done a great job for us as our ambassador between the hospital and the front line of fitness and the face of the facility. But yeah, for sure, having a great exercise program, knowing your numbers, having a good relationship with your doctor, as well as having a fitness program, is very important for your overall health. And it's just something we can't stress enough. And we're happy to be providing what we do here.
Yeah, you know, the fact that you have the hospital-based, Edwards Hospital, fantastic reputation, Elmhurst also, and the fact that people understand that the hospital doctors, the medical side of things is very involved, allows for great confidence, I think, in people who can count on the kind of expertise, the kind of personal training that you guys provide, the endless array of programs also. You know, when it comes to even the inclusion over the past, probably, I don't know, 5 years, 5 to 10 years, yoga, mind, body. Give us an example of some of the popular programs that are available at Edwards Elmer's Health and Fitness.
Well, one of the favorite ways I like to put it is if it's hot in the industry and it's out there, we're doing it. We've got yoga for people that are unable to get down on a mat. They need to sit in a chair and do yoga. We offer that in the afternoons for our senior population or someone who just simply can't get down on the ground. We also have high-intensity yoga for people that are yogis, if you will, and they're really into their practice and they want that advanced next step. We're medically based. We do a little bit of everything. We've got aquatics programming for those with MS, arthritis. We've got therapy pools that are warmer temperature. But we're not just a facility that caters to people that need to rehabilitate or go slow. We have high-intensity interval training for the fittest of the fit, ranging from people in their early 20s all the way through, I think our oldest participant in this class is 76. Road to Fitness, R-O-W-E-D. It's a high-intensity program where you're rowing, you're doing full-body exercise off the rower, and then you're doing core work, and it's a circuit, and it rotates. It's 45 minutes long, and it's the hardest workout in our club right now, and we are rocking it.
Yes, of course, the fitness facility, when it first opened, I remember the excitement. You have a whole children's area, which is, again, such a big deal, the inclusion of education and the physical education side of what's available, you know, for the kids. You know, my 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medal winner, Evan Lysacek, who grew up in Naperville, Illinois, he was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. 12 years later, he was the best in the world. We had him training right next door. The ice facility worked out. We used to have a lot of those kids coming over and working out and strengthening over at Edwards. And you work with and have a lot of the athletes from the schools at different levels. They might not all be Olympic champions, but it's great that you had one floating around there. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And the key part about having an inclusive children's side is you got a place for parents to demonstrate healthy behavior. So they're coming to the exercise facility. They're coming to the gym. They're going to drop their kids off in the play area, which also has a full-size gym, and they're able to run around, play. As they get older, they're invited to join sports shorts or TRX for teens or different programming that we do offer. And they see their mom and dad, mom and or dad, or hopefully both, exercising out on the main fitness floor. They're setting a good example, and they're realizing that once they graduate from sport, like you said, not everyone's going to be an Olympic athlete, but they get to come in, do their thing, and then they move on to general fitness, which is very important across the lifespan. So definitely a fan of demonstrating healthy-driven behaviors for all of our youth that do come through the club, as well as the youth in the community. So it's a great thing.
Yeah, you know, Stephen, I've been talking about it for 25 years, give or take a few weeks on the Sports Doctor. The challenge of childhood obesity, the challenge of regular obesity, and one of the real ironies and disappointments is we haven't made that much progress. You know, it seems that there's a physical therapy group on every other corner. There's gyms everywhere. There's tremendous education going on. So the fact that you guys are still on the front lines looking to make a change in this nightmare of obesity and childhood obesity, I think is a very, very big deal. What's the website people could find out about the club, its programs, and their locations?
Sure. The best spot to go is www.healthydriven.com and navigate through to the Health and Fitness Center pages.
Yeah, what happened to Donica Patrick? Right. I never did get her on the radio show. Donica was one of your major fitness sponsors. You had all sorts of promotion. How long ago was that?
A couple of years back. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, she did. She did some key events for us and was a great speaker for us.
Oh yeah, I think she really helped with the whole healthy driven. That's a great title. Because again, the reality is that, you know, PE in schools, it's a challenge to keep those things consistent. And in this day and age, with everybody looking at a cell phone and these kids growing up with the screens and this whole challenge, you know, people ask the Sports Doctor all the time, Steve, you know, what's the new medicine? And we tell them the new medicine is, number one, eat smarter, and number two, keep active, keep moving. Everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, live from Chicago. We hung around Chicago for both guests today. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see who the guests were, what the topics were, listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read all of my latest magazine articles with our sponsor or one of our sponsors, Lower Extremity Review, all sorts of information on orthotics, lower extremity exercise, etc. SportsDoctorRadio.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. We have a lot of authors, a lot of coaches, a lot of doctors, as well as all sorts of information about the radio show. Lots of great information at SportsDocDocRadio. I'm talking to my friend Steve Thurston. He's the program manager, Edwards Elmhurst Health and Fitness Center. Steve, how long have you been with the clubs?
I had a split role here.
I remember.
For about 4 years and left and explored some other other career options and decided that I missed giving back to the community with health and wellness and my true passion. Came back in 2011 and I've been going strong ever since. So what's that going on? Eight? Going to be 9 years here in January.
Jesus, you know what I mean? I don't know if I would have guessed it's been that long. You know, the fact of the educated personal trainer, the fact of people being able to be confident, because, again, there's fitness clubs everywhere you look, everybody's an expert, and you guys make a big deal about who's on the personal training, personal fitness side. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so part of our mission here is to educate as well as improve people's fitness and general goals and knowledge about health and wellness and fitness. We pride ourselves on the fact that we employ nationally accredited certified trainers. There are a lot of personal training certifications out there. We have ciphered through and said these are the ones that we want and we accept, and all of our trainers go through a screening process to make sure that they meet our strict protocol and regimen of how we do that hiring. Most importantly is that they're going to put people in a safe and comfortable way to exercise. They're going to figure out things that people can do. Most importantly, we will work with if someone's coming off of a physical therapy regimen, we'll talk to physical therapists. And
yeah, it's great to be that connection. Great
or
to be
exercises
the connection
that they absolutely cannot be doing. That's a key.
All right, we're
going to
come back,
that sets,
Steve.
Sets a hospital-based
wellness
center apart from one that may not be.
Okay, we're going to take a break, Steve. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We are talking with Steve Thurston. He is the fitness program director, Edwards Elmhurst Health and Fitness Center. The two facilities, healthy, driven. You know, Steve, before the break, we were talking about, again, the myriads of programs, you know, from the North Shore a couple of years ago, I was seeing some of these champions in the office in pickleball. I said to them, well, you know, what's pickleball? You know, I wasn't even familiar with it at all. And then all of a sudden, it's become such a big deal. It's like a mini tennis played. And I see you guys have included pickleball in your program.
We have. So pickleball is the fastest growing rec sport, or one of the fastest growing recreational sports in America. You got a lot of people who were former tennis players who love the sport that simply can't move the distance that a tennis court demands. Pickleball is a little bit scaled down in terms of size. It's got similar rules. It's a smaller racket. They don't call it a racket. They call it a paddle, hence the name. And it's really fun. People love it, and it's kind of a cross between, for those that aren't familiar, a cross between tennis and table tennis played on a sport court or a hardwood court. And for example, we've got two on our basketball court. So basketball court, we'll say, goes north-south. We've got an east-west pickleball court on each end of that basketball court. And 5 days a week. We offer different pickup times. It's open to members only at this point. Or if a member brought in a guest and they wanted to use a guest pass or come on our free guest Friday with a host, they'd be able to play pickleball, and we provide all the equipment necessary.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys caught up to the North Shore. You know, when it's coming to some of that, popularity, you know, the senior population, the adult population, everybody wants to be active, whether it's, again, going to the gym, whether it's playing golf. As long as you're open, we've done foot screenings at the facility, talking to people, what's the best shoe to wear, what type of problems they might be having trying to stay out of trouble in one regard or another. So, you know, the mixture of aerobic and anaerobic activity is something that I know in the world of fitness, everybody pays very, very big attention to. And you guys also do all, don't you?
We got a little bit of everything, like I said earlier. And we definitely definitely promote a good mix of cardio, strength training. You can do cardio in a certain element of aerobic capacity, or you can really go hard and get to the anaerobic stage. What's right is what's right for your body, and that's what our trainers and our fitness staff can help you decide. That's why everyone that comes to us as a member has the access to a complimentary fitness consultation. We can define some baseline tests and measures to figure out where you're coming to us at, and then also give you some goals and some familiarization with some of our equipment so you are ready to hit the ground running. And then we welcome you to come back and have a recheck 6, 8, 10 weeks down the line, because you're not going to make any strides unless you know where you're at.
And you also have an involved with the whole world of nutrition, the dietitian side, where you have that kind of information available for people who want to learn more. There's always programs going on at the particular facility. You know, at all the high schools, all the high school athletes, the junior high school, et cetera, off-season, different seasons. And I know that you've had quite a bit of different teams, other athletes that take part in some of your different programs. So that relationship with the schools, the park districts, and the communities is strong, isn't it, Steve?
Absolutely. We wouldn't be who we are with 11,000 members strong without being a face of our community. So our two facilities have reciprocal membership. Everybody is welcome to come to either club. But we do reach out, and we've got affiliations and connections with all of our local high schools. A lot of times we suggest that these athletes do cross training, or if you're an ice skater, for example, it's very important to do off ice training. If you're a volleyball player, you need to do some stuff that's not just involving a ball and a net. You gotta work weights. You gotta do some squats. You gotta do all different types of training to be able to truly support the needs of the athlete. A lot of times in the fast growing 13 to 17 year old segment for males and females, boys and girls, the stuff in between the shoulders and the hips doesn't catch up right away. They really got to work the core. Imbalances is something that we're able to identify for that student athlete population, and then define some set movement patterns to get them into a safer, stronger self, I guess is the way to say it.
Yeah, because the reality, Steve, it's why I co-authored the book hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is that there is an epidemic, with a capital E, of youth sports overuse injuries. And I got news for you. It's mental as much as physical. There's a lot of over-pushing, a lot of over-scheduling. This is not news to you, I know. And the fact that we have education available for whether it's the coaches or the parents to try to deal with this crazy world of youth sports, I think it's a major key. And you guys, again, pay a lot of attention to that, don't you?
We do. And the key there, I think, for us is that we offer, like I just described, the break of day from the regular routine. So if said athlete is in season and going 6 days a week, we stress the importance of rest on that seventh, and also off season, come in and do something else. You know, run on a treadmill, get in the water, swim, have fun. Essentially, get away from the sport for a little bit. And if you're a three-sport athlete, we just want to make sure that your body's getting time off and also any injuries or soft tissue needs that you have need to be addressed. We want to make sure that we have the ability to identify those and give you a path to correct any imbalances.
Yes, one of my favorite terms, Steve, is intelligent rest. The necessity of recovery and the necessity of rest. And again, with the pressure of club sports and traveling teams, a lot of times this is when we start running into these overuse injuries where it's just too much, it's too aggressive, and we have to be able to back off and come up with some of these cross-training philosophies to stop doing the same thing all the time. The explosion of the mind-body part of health and fitness is really something that's been amazing. Talk a little bit about some of the different programs. You guys got meditation. You have, again, yoga. You've got the music therapy. Talk about the explosion of the whole mind-body world that you've watched in your years in the world of fitness.
Yeah, well, and mind-body in terms of sport, going way back, used to be just used to treat a golfer with the yips, yeah? I mean, you got to get away from the sport, think about what you're doing, sit back, relax, take a deep breath, walk away for a week, come back, and see if you can get past it. There's way more to it than that. All of us can benefit from it. So a youth athlete or parents who are both working and running and getting their kids to and from all the activities from orchestra to band to, you know, you got soccer, you got football for your kids, whatever it may be, there's not enough time in the day and everybody gets stressed out. So the important
anti-stress programs,
take
Steve,
a step back,
right?
And get away from
all of it. Anti-stress programs.
Learn how to meditate, learn how to put the screen down, get off your phone, get away from the TV. Do a little bit of relaxation, R&R, connect with a friend, pick up a book. All those types of things are very, very important. Meditation programming here is definitely taking off. You're right, Doc. We've got special workshops we offer 3 to 4 times a year to teach meditation techniques. We've got classes that are set for those that are a little bit less self-disciplined. So if they're taught how to do it, but they don't force themselves to make the time, we can put them on a schedule of come once a week for 6 weeks. You're in this program. You paid for it. You made the appointment. Then you get here. You unplug, and you do your meditative recharge.
Million programs, Stephen. I can't believe it was time flew. A million programs at the Edwards Elmhurst Health and Fitness Center. Stephen, give me the website quickly again.
www.healthydriven.com.
HealthyDriven.com. Steve Thurston, the program manager, the Woodridge facility. Hey, Steve, thanks so much. Hold on quickly. Everybody, we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hey, everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. Live radio is always fun. Who's got the notes, man? Here they are. As always, in the Sports Doctors In segment, we preview a couple of the upcoming shows. Great guests all the time. Next week, one of the leaders in the safety of youth sports, Dr. Steve Horwitz, Team Safe, is the name of his particular program, any school district, any park district facility, teams, et cetera. Being prepared, the league, the parents, the coaches, for any kind of contingency. So we're excited about him. Then Johann Liebenfritz. Johann is the creator of UK Health Radio. Sports Doctor is broadcast the following week on UK Health Radio. It's on every day following our live broadcast. So we're excited about him coming back. Following week, my friend Ian Goldberg, iSport 360, almost 100,000 parents and coaches, the importance in different apps on communication between coaches and parents, and his new launched kids side of it, iSport 360. Then we're going to talk some CBD with the physician expert, Dr. Roberta DeLuca. She's going to talk about these ex-pro athletes who've been very involved in the CBD, hemp, non-get high, medical marijuana world. Jocks and docs, I think is she labeled them. So some great shows as always coming up. Let's see. Steven has his email. Again, you want to email me, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Steve says, my 14-year-old daughter has a quarter-inch leg length difference. She wears inserts. Shouldn't that be added to orthotics? The answer, Steve, is yes. If we have a definitive leg length difference, then a lift many times is indicated. Usually physical therapy, chiropractic, orthopedists are the professions I rely on specifically to measure that leg length. Leg length difference is as much an art as it is specific where we see the difference, but the designated difference, if that's the case, the orthotic, which is in a three-dimensional correction of foot-ankle positioning, is far superior to just a shoe lift in that case. So check that out. The quarter inch can easily be added to her orthotics, and which will be a much better way of evening out that leg length. Debbie says, my 16-year-old son has persistent shin problems. He inherited his flat feet from his dad and his grandpa. Is this related? Debbie, it definitely is. Most persistent or recurrent shin problems, so-called shin splints, which is not a medical term, but shin splints usually means the discomfort on the lower inside leg that we might see in running, jumping athletes. And when it's persistent, a lot of times it is foot-related. That excessive roll-in of the pronated foot increases the rotation of the lower leg and puts extra stress on this particular tendon, the posterior tibial tendon, whose job it is to slow down the ball of the foot as it hits the ground. And often we'll see that the combination of strengthening of these particular muscles, rubber bands are a great way to strengthen all those lower leg and ankle attachments and orthotics in order to get rid of and prevent the recurrence of persistent shin pain. Make sure, Debbie, you get a diagnosis. There could be stress fractures. There could be compression problems. So you want to get the specific diagnosis regarding why, and then look at podiatry. The great news is very, very helpful, very successful in getting rid of and keeping them from coming back. Sam says, my 75-year-old dad, active walker, his heels, his arches hurt. He was diagnosed with heel spurs. Is this a surgical problem? Almost never, Sam. Someone mentioned surgery. Get another. Go to see another doctor. Almost always, proper arch support, ideally custom orthotics with proper shoes is 90% or better effective in calming down that arch pain and or heel pain. proper shoes, evaluation of the foot type. A lot of times we'll recommend physical therapy, ultrasound, stretching, other kinds of things that are done. But even the most aggressive heel spurs, maybe 1-2% of surgical problems. Sometimes injections could be helpful, but the key remedy is the use of inserts, ideally custom orthotics, to keep your dad out on that walking trail, because the heel pain associated with spurs could stop him. It'd be a real nightmare. So see podiatry. Carol says, my daughter is a serious ballerina. She's 11 years old. They're talking about her starting to do being on point work. What do you think? I'd be careful, Carol. As a rule, we would like to see the bone growth maturity before we get up on point. The reality is that a lot of times we're cheating and compromising on that. So we want to be able to pay attention to whether or not she's had trouble, how strong she is in the feet and ankles, and then pay attention, what type of ballet shoe is she in, and then talk about, after looking at x-rays and seeing how much growth is still available, and then make that intelligent decision. I would not leave it up to the dance instructor. I would include a foot specialist podiatrist in helping to make these kinds of decisions. Physical therapy also, making sure that she's strong enough and the bone maturity is key. Steve says, my son's 11 years old. He's an active soccer player. He's played since he's 6 years old. He's been diagnosed with Sievers disease. You know, Steve, the word disease is overkill. Sievers syndrome, I like to say, is the inflammation of the growth center of the heel. Active boys and girls is a large growth center that doesn't mature until like maybe 15 years old, might be a little younger in girls, where that heel bone is solidified. Until then, especially in adolescence, that growth center is susceptible to stress. Running, jumping, it's definite stress. And soccer is famous for cleats for all of these kids. Get your son out of the cleats, number one. And if, in fact, we've got the true Sievers, look seriously at orthotics. Almost always long-term custom orthotics will solve the problem, because when the growth center is persistently irritated, a lot of times foot mechanics has something to do with it. Imagine a boy or girl with very high arches, putting a lot more stress on the heel, even pronated feet, the eversion, inversion of the heel can be susceptible to inflammation. So get the kid out of cleats and make sure that you are including intelligent rest. You can't continue to run through these kinds of problems. Sometimes you see we got to take a couple of weeks off, but get your son evaluated. Is he in the best soccer shoe for his particular feet? And to pay big attention to orthotics and padding in order to be able to get rid of the problem, long term. We had a couple of questions about Dr. Wild. What do you mean by the prodigy sports in your book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents? The prodigy sports are, we just mentioned one, ballet. Think of figure skating. Think of gymnastics, where you have young boys or girls doing only one sport and only one sport only. And this is a particular group, and we have to pay particular attention. We would ideally like boys and girls to grow up playing multiple sports. But if they're in the prodigy sport category, you got to pay attention. You got to get a physical therapist to come up with a program to prevent injuries. Bingo, bango, we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. And we'll catch you next week.